ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
In the midst of the Cold War, many people thought that we were destined for a nuclear apocalypse.
We, 1959ers, lived in the shadow of the hydrogen bomb and some world-destroying war of nuclear fission.
And now we live in fear of something else.
Climate change is here, it is terrifying, and it is just the beginning.
But does worrying about these things make them more or less likely to happen? I'm Matt Bevan, and from If You're Listening, this is Black Swans, a special series about why it's so hard to predict the future. It's available now on ABC Listen.
It cut rates three times last year. Now comes the U-turn. The Reserve Bank has increased interest rates for the first time since 2023, hiking by 0.25 of a percentage point, taking the official cash rate to 3.85%. Today, the ABC's finance expert, Alan Kohler, on the RBA's failure to bring inflation down to its target and the mistakes it made in 2025. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Alan, rates are up. You thought that they would keep them on hold, didn't you? But it wasn't to be.
Well, I was wrong again. So obviously what you should do is bet on whatever I say. But yes, look, I think it's a bit of an admission of a mistake by the RBA to have cut rates three times last year. I mean, whether they should have cut at all, I think is questionable. And certainly the last one was probably in August was probably unnecessary. I mean, so they've increased their forecast of inflation, core inflation for June this year from 3.2 to 3.7%. So if they're forecasting a 0.5% increase in inflation in the next 6 months to 3.7%, of course they had to increase rates. You know, I mean, I thought that because the CPI, the consumer price index in December, rose mainly because of international airfares, that they wouldn't need to increase their forecast, but they did, so they had to raise rates.
We've updated our assessment and outlook for the economy and concluded that the cash rate was no longer at the right level to get inflation back to target in a reasonable time frame. The RBA's target for inflation is 2.5%, and data for the December quarter showed year-ended headline inflation was 3.6%, underlying inflation was 3.4%. High inflation hurts all Australians.
And just to point out, you weren't alone, Alan. There were others that thought they might keep them on hold, although there was a fair few economists that thought it might go up. So anyway, the decision has now been made. So what is the message from the Reserve Bank Governor Michelle Bullock?
That, well, and inflation's a bit too high and it needs to be brought under control some more.
Based on the data we've seen and the conditions here and around the world, the board now thinks it will take longer for inflation to return to target, and this is not an acceptable outcome. Now, I know this is not the news that Australians with mortgages want to hear, but it is the right thing for the economy.
So as to, you know, whether they keep raising rates, who knows? I mean, I suppose they'll keep watching what happens to inflation. But if inflation turns out as they have forecast, and that in June it is 3.7%, then I suspect there will be another rate hike.
Not good for people with a mortgage at this point, of course, because their repayments will be going up quite soon. If you've got a $1 million loan, which let's face it, quite a lot of people do have in Australia, you'll be paying an extra $150 a month. Now, that's designed to bring down inflation, right? To stop you spending that money.
That's right. So the whole point of raising interest rates is to increase the interest repayments of both households and businesses so that households spend less on other stuff and businesses have to reduce other costs. And that generally means laying people off. So it leads to higher unemployment. So the RBA also thinks that unemployment's a bit too low at 4%. And I think they want, well, they forecast that unemployment will rise to 4.3%. I think they'd prefer 4.5%. I mean, they have two mandates the Reserve Bank. One is to have to achieve price stability, and the other is to achieve full employment. But their definition of full employment is not full employment, but the level of employment that doesn't make inflation go up, which they currently estimate to be, I don't know, 4.4%. So it's not what you and I would call full employment, but there it is.
Okay, well, Alan, I just want to now return to these three rate cuts that the RBA granted home borrowers last year. Now, it started dropping rates in February, and you actually predicted back then, and you were wrong again, that they wouldn't move. But why were you saying that?
Well, because I didn't think it was necessary. I think that at that point unemployment was 4%. Yes, inflation, you know, wasn't particularly low. It was 2.4%. You know, it was kind of in the middle of their target range. They didn't have to worry about low inflation that was too low. They didn't have to get it up. And, you know, unemployment was not high. So, you know, I just thought that they didn't need to. And also, I'm on board with the national project to improve housing affordability.
Mm.
And I'm aware that the main influence on house prices is interest rates.
Right.
And so, you know, I thought if they cut interest rates last year, then that would make house prices go up, which is, of course, what happened.
This decision then, given it did reduce rates three times last year, does that mean now that it's had to raise them again pretty quickly, right, that it made the wrong decision back then?
I think so. I mean, the average distance between the last cut and the first hike for the RBA is 10 months. So this is 6 months. It's not as short as the time in 2002 when they did it in 4 months. That was a bit of an extreme case. They definitely made a mistake in cutting. They cut six times after the dot-com crash in 2000. During the course of 2001, early 2002, they cut six times. They clearly cut too much, and then they had to turn around 4 months later with a screeching U-turn and start putting them up again. You know, and I don't think 6 months, I think 6 months is a bad look. It kind of is a bit of an admission of failure. The thing, of course, is that they aren't focused on house prices at all. They're all about consumer prices. And, you know, their aim is to keep consumer prices down. Now, but they are interested in, and they have said, and I think it's laudable, that they are interested in maintaining maximum employment. So they've said for, I don't know, about 10 years now that they're walking a narrow path. Mm. Certainly since the pandemic, they're walking a narrow path to achieve, to get inflation under control without causing unemployment to go up and without slowing the economy too much. And so, you know, I think that's great. Good on them for openly trying to achieve that. But I don't think they have.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because they also called it, you know, a soft landing. They're trying to achieve, maybe they're trying to achieve too many things at once, right? They're trying to protect jobs and the economy and bring down inflation. Can that actually happen? Can you have a soft landing, or is that an impossibility?
Oh, no. I think, you know, if they can now get inflation back under control, back under 3%, without sending unemployment to 5%, then I think that's great. And if they, and all power to them if they can achieve that. And maybe they will. You know, the main problem in my view is that it resulted in house prices rising 8.6% across the country, you know, including 14.5% in Brisbane and 16% in Perth. I mean, massive rises in house prices, which completely derailed the government's, and this is not just the federal government, but all governments' attempts to improve housing affordability.
Yeah, so while the RBA uses interest rates to control inflation, that's the main point of it, you know, consumer prices, actually you think the biggest impact it has is on house prices.
Well, that's right, and it has a direct impact on house prices. And in fact, in some ways, you could say that the process of transmission of monetary policy is via housing, because they're trying to make households' mortgages increase, mortgage repayments increase when they put rates up. And the reverse happens when they cut interest rates. And so what tends to happen when interest rates are cut, as they were last year, is that people have got a house already and already have a mortgage. They tend to keep paying the same repayments and they just pay off their loan faster, which is fantastic, good for them. But it also means that people buying a house can pay more. And so it increases the amount that people are prepared to pay for housing, which is why house prices go up when rates come down. Mm. And at the same time, we've got very strong level of migration. So both the numbers looking for a house have increased a lot and the amount that people can pay for the house has gone up because of rates coming down. And that's where you get a blowout of affordability, which is what happened last year with 8.6% across the country, which is more than twice the increase in incomes, wages. And so housing affordability substantially worsened last year.
Mm. All right. Well, Alan, in your view, the RBA, and probably not only your view, the RBA made a mistake last year when it was cutting rates. It's now had to swing around and put them back up again. Now, for many Australians, that really hurts, doesn't it? Because they've refinanced everything. It's really difficult for people living out there trying to pay their homes off.
Well, that's right. But, you know, look, it's a real kind of paradox in a way. You've got obviously a cost of living problem in Australia. The Reserve Bank was trying to alleviate that a bit last year by cutting interest rates, and good for them. But at the same time, that increased house prices and, you know, thereby worsens the cost of living, because a big part of the cost of living problem is the high price of housing. And, you know, a big part of the consumer price index going up was construction costs as well. So, you know, you had a big increase in the cost of building a house and also a big increase in the cost of buying an existing house. And in my view, housing is kind of a fundamental layer of the cost of living problem, which kind of then leads to everything else.
All right. So, Alan, what do we need to see now for the Reserve Bank to be happy, I suppose? What does happiness look like for Michelle Bullock? And will it require, I suppose, do you think, between now and the end of the year, or sooner, another rate hike?
Yeah, probably. I'd say, I mean, the market economists, they all think there'll be at least one more rate hike this year and possibly a third. And happiness for the Reserve Bank is 2.5% inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're aiming at. You know, they actually talk about a 2 to 3% range, but actually what they're doing is they're after 2.5%. And I think they'll put up rates until they get it, I guess. That's what will happen. And that'll probably bring house prices back down a bit too.
Mm. All right. And in the meantime, until we get to that 2.5%, that magic number, you know, we're just all paying more and more for things, aren't we?
Well, that's right. And at the moment, we've got high inflation, you know, fairly high inflation. We've got high house prices and we've got interest rates going up some more. And, you know, monetary policy, interest rates take a while to feed through to the economy. It doesn't happen instantly. I mean, when I was growing up as a finance journalist, they said that it took 18 months for changes to interest rates to affect the economy fully. I've never believed that. I thought that always sounded too long, but it's certainly more than 6 months, possibly 12 months. It takes a while. And so, you know, there's not going to be any instant transmission here, although it's possibly going to have an instant impact on house prices, which is probably a very good thing.
All right. Well, Alan, reading the minds of the RBA board can be a little tricky, and predictions are, you know, fraught sometimes. So,
exactly, especially by me.
Until next time. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks.
Alan Kohler is the ABC's finance expert. You can catch him on the 7 p.m. news on ABC TV. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Coffey. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.